Lord, we have eternal praise for the privilege He granted us to be back with you. We are thankful for the mercies of God to us in His Son, and thankful for the comfort we can draw from knowing that His eye is upon us in Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord for His goodness and the travel that we've experienced over the past month. And for those of you who remembered us in prayer, we appreciate that. We are grateful for God's mercies in so many ways. I want to ask you, if you have your Bibles, please, to turn with me in them this morning to John chapter 1. Back last year at Christmas time, we looked at a portion of John chapter 1 and focused on the rejection of our Lord and as well the reception that those words spoke of there in verses 10 through 13. But this morning, I'd like us to turn back to John chapter 1 and to consider together more broadly those opening words of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. The prologue of John's Gospel as it's presented there, and in what is found we have in those words the presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is what we'd like to focus on this morning, the Lord helping us. We want to present by what John, through inspiration of God's Spirit, gives us here, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and His saving work. The most vital of issues, the most vital of questions that any person can answer is, who is Jesus? And that's answered by John here as the Spirit of God inspires him to pen these words that speak so powerfully of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to look together at those words this morning. John chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 through 18 and consider them together, the Lord willing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. We trust that our God would add His own blessing, stamp, and seal to this His red word. May we just pause together and ask that of Him, please. Father, we unite our hearts in the worthy name of Him who is here called the Word, even our Lord Jesus Christ, thy dear Son. And Father, as we unite before You in His name, we ask of You that You might by Your Spirit bless Your Word to the good of our souls. Father, we stand in need of You today. We are unable to bring blessing to Your people. We are unable to bring blessing to sinners. And so we ask of You that You might do that You might grant speaker and hearer alike your mercy. And Father, we pray that in it all You might exalt the Lord Jesus and You would be glorified. For we pray in His worthy name. Amen. If you look at these words of the Gospel of John this morning, Chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, again, the prologue of John's Gospel by which he introduces us to that which he desires to set forth throughout the whole of this Gospel. He desires to set forth the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. And as he does that, John, here in these words, as it were, cuts to the chase, and he presents clearly for us the person of God's dear Son, that vital issue of who is Jesus. Now, there are many answers that you'll be given, sadly, today if you would ask people, who is Jesus? If you ask a New Ager, they would say, why, he's a shaman. He's a guru. He's one of many teachers on the path to enlightenment. That answer won't satisfy who he is. That answer won't tell the story of who he is. If you would ask others, they would say, yes, he's a prophet. He's a teacher sent from God. If you asked a Muslim, they would tell us that of him. They would say, well, he's one of many, leading up to that greatest of prophets, Muhammad. But that won't satisfy who he is. That won't exhaust who he is. The Word of God speaks clearly as to that answer. Who he is. Who is Jesus? You see, it's interesting when you look at the broad scale of religions in our day, you ask, who are these men who speak for God, who claim to speak for God? There are a number of answers that they give about themselves. Buddha spoke of himself, and he said that only by long and hard exercise could he reach the state of absolute nothingness. If you want to listen to Buddha and follow him, then all right, he got what he worked hard for, absolute nothingness. I don't want to follow a man to absolute nothingness, do you? Muhammad said he was a little fly, and Allah just revealed himself to him. Well, if you want to follow Muhammad then, listen to the little fly to whom Allah revealed himself. But there's one who cuts through it all in the midst of all the claims of prophets and teachers, and he says this, I am the door, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'll tell you, of all the religious leaders and the claims they make, that's the one I want to follow. The one who can say, I'm the way into the Father's heart. The one who can say, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the one that John, by the Spirit of God's inspiration, is burdened to relay to us, burdened to present to us. He is desirous of making known to us the glory of God the Father's only Son, Jesus Christ. And this is what he does in his gospel, but especially we see it in these opening words of his prologue. Most of you can remember, I believe, the ABC song. Some of you may have sung it as young people. If not, maybe you sung it to your own children. You can remember it. I won't bother to sing it, and I won't ask you this morning to sing it with me. Maybe I should, to fix it in your minds, and as well to give a few of our young people a little bit of a thrill. But you'll remember it goes, and I don't recite it all. I don't believe I need to, but A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and on it goes. Why do I mention that? Well, because of one way that John speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd ask you to notice with me in the Gospel of John these opening words, the identification of the Lord Jesus that is found. John begins his Gospel with these words, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And later you'll say in verse 14, and the Word became flesh. I want you to notice the identification of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's for the reason of this identification of our Savior that we mention the ABC song. The Lord Jesus Christ is not spoken of by His name Jesus that became His in His incarnation. He's not spoken of initially by that title Son that is found in these words of the prologue. But he's not found initially by that title, as he is referred to by John, the gospel writer here. Rather, that word which John uses to describe the Lord Jesus Christ here is the word, Word. And I believe the reason for that is because the Lord Jesus Christ is God's vocabulary. The Lord Jesus Christ is, if you will, the ABC of God the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one through whom God the Father speaks. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you will, is the one to whom God has limited everything that He would say to us, to humanity. If you would hear God the Father speak, it would be only through the one who is here called the Word, Jesus Christ. And again, I repeat myself, He is God's vocabulary. He is God's alphabet. He is the ABC by whom God communicates with man, and apart from whom there is no communication with man. There's no revelation. It is Christ, the Word, Christ alone. He is the one. And in this we see, I believe, again, that exalted character of our Lord Jesus. We see in Him the fact that it's not Muhammad, it's not Allah, it's not Buddha, it's not Krishna, it's not any of the world's religious leaders. In a day of pluralism and in a day of inclusivism in which if you believe in the exclusive claims of Christ, you're viewed as being out, not in vogue. Over against that, I gladly tell you this morning, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He's the alphabet of the living God. He's the one through whom God the Father speaks. And you know, you and I can bless the Lord this morning, or should, that there is one in whom God the Father speaks to sinners. There is one who is called the Word. For I hope we realize this morning that had God not spoken through the Word, His Son, to us, to sinners, to humanity, to fallen sinners of Adam's race, He would have been ultimately none the worse for it as to His necessary being as God. Our God is a triune being, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And as that triune being, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and those sacred persons, had He been pleased to let all of humanity perish in sin, He'd have still been perfect in that full fellowship that marked Him as God. But oh, I say to you this morning, we see the glory of the grace of God in the gospel revealed here as Jesus Christ is spoken of as the Word. It speaks of this truth, this reality, that God desires to communicate to us. God desires to speak with us. God has one in whom He does reveal Himself. And brothers and sisters, I trust we see some of the glory of this. This one, the Word, of whom we read later in verse 18. And let me just point them out again to you, those words there. John writes, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." The word declared in the Greek text is the word exegeo. We get our word exegete from that. When we speak of that science of biblical interpretation, that way that we come to understand the Scriptures, we speak of exegesis. That is bringing out of the text of God's Word God's clear message. Jesus Christ is the one, according to verse 18, who has exegeted the Father, the one who has brought the Father out, who has exposed the truth of who God is for us. And He can do that because He is the Word. Christianity has affirmed this in its hymnody, in its truth that it set forth doctrinally. Christianity has affirmed who Jesus is. One of the ancient hymns of the Christian church says this of our Lord, "Of the Father's love begotten, ere the worlds began to be. He is Alpha and Omega. He the source, the ending He. Of the things that are that have been, and of future things shall be, evermore and evermore." That's the way one man, Marcus Aurelius Prudentius Clemens, in the 400s presented it. More recently, in a hymn that we sometimes sing in remembering the Lord Jesus, Josiah Conder wrote these words of the exalted person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to these words from Hymns of Worship and Remembrance, number 127. "Thou art the everlasting Word, the Father's only Son, God manifestly seen and heard, and heaven's beloved One. Worthy, O Lamb of God, art Thou, that every knee to Thee shall bow. In Thee most perfectly expressed, the Father's glory shine, of the full deity possessed, eternally divine. True image of the infinite, whose essence is concealed, brightness of uncreated light, the heart of God revealed. But the high mysteries of His name, the creature's grasp transcend, the Father only glorious claim, the Son can comprehend. Yet loving Thee, on whom is love ineffable doth rest, Thy members all in Thee above, as one with Thee are blessed. Throughout the universe of bliss, the center Thou and Son, the eternal theme of praise is this, to heaven's beloved One. Worthy, O Lamb of God, art Thou, that every knee to Thee should bow." As I read those words about him, of Brother Conder, and I think of what he expresses of the truth of Jesus, the Word of God, I feel, as we read in the book of Ezekiel chapter 47, brothers and sisters, friends, this morning, I feel that I'm in waters to swim in, waters too deep for me, because we see the glory of this beloved One, this One who is the object of the Father's pleasure and focus, and He is the Word. John identifies Him in that way. And then John goes on to speak in words that we've touched on in some measure even now. He speaks of Him by way of dealing with the relation with the Father that the Lord Jesus occupies. And that's seen as well in verse 1 and in verse 2 and verse 18. The Lord Jesus is presented in relation with the Father. And it is said of Him, "In the beginning was the Word, He's God's vocabulary, God's alphabet, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same, John repeats, was in the beginning with God. As John speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ here, as he identifies him as the Word, the one in whom God speaks to sinners, the one who is God's revelation, John adds about distinct and unique relationship that Christ occupies, that he was with God, and yet he was God. He's the one, indeed, who was in the beginning with God. So we see that he is God, he possesses deity, and yet as God, he was with God. That speaks about unique relation that he occupies with the Father. Again, verse 18 speaks so well of it. Again, we read, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." The one who is the Word can declare God. He's God's vocabulary. He's God's alphabet because of that position, that relationship that he has with God the Father. He's the only begotten Son of the Father. He's the one who possesses a special relationship with the Father from all eternity. In the beginning, this relationship was his. And he is unique in that relationship, for he is the Son of the Father. I remember reading a story some years ago in which a little boy was in a town in the dead of a cold winter. Barefoot, he pressed his nose against the glass of a bakery. A woman grabbed him by the hand, took him across the street in town to a shoe store and bought him some shoes. And then she led him back across the street into that bakery, and she bought him all the fill of baked goods he could eat. As they walked out of the bakery, that little boy looked up at the woman and said, "Pardon me, ma'am, but are you God's wife?" She said, "No, I'm just one of his children." He said, "Well, I knew you had to be related." Brothers and sisters, when we think this morning of the Lord Jesus Christ, he occupies that unique relationship with God the Father. Not one of his children as those who were saved are, and as we read in verse 13, verse 12, as we're born of God by the Spirit, as children into his family, or as Paul would speak, we're sons by adoption, that is, sons by the placing of sons. The Lord Jesus Christ is uniquely God's Son because of that begetting that is his of an eternal character, because of the fact that he's the eternal Son of God. He was marked by that unique relationship, that distinct relation with the Father. One, as we said, that we can't comprehend. One is the words that Brother Condell pointed out. We can't fully understand. And yet we know that the Son, from old eternity, was that fountain of the Father's thought, that boundless expression of who God is. So that in his incarnation, the Lord Jesus would later say, when one said, "Show us the Father, and it's enough, it sufficeth us," the Lord Jesus would say, "Philip, have I been with you so long? Have you not realized that he that has seen me has seen the Father?" Jesus Christ, the one who reflects God perfectly as the Word, because he stands in that relationship with the Father of perfect eternal sonship. He is the one who is the only begotten, the unique Son of God. John goes on to declare some more of the glories of who Jesus is in the words of this chapter. And he speaks of Jesus our Lord as Creator. And we see creation by the Son, by the Word. John says in the words of his prologue, verses 3 and 4, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Here we see clear testimony to the truth that our Lord Jesus Christ, as the one who was with the Father in the beginning, was the maker, the fashioner, the creator of all things. How did this world get its being? How did it come to be? The one who was the Word spoke it into being. He's the one who called light, "Light be!" And what happened? Light was. Sometimes jokingly, we may flip on a switch and say, "Let there be light." But we've got the power of wires and electricity and bulbs to help us. But our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Light be," and without any of those elements that you and I use, he brought light to be. He was the one who was creator in the beginning. John not only attests this, but as well, the words of Paul in Colossians chapter 1 speak clearly of the fact that our Lord Jesus is creator. As Paul writes to the Colossians, as they faced a heresy that wanted to take the Lord Jesus down from his exalted position as God and reduce him to one among many, Paul wrote clearly of Christ to the Colossians, and he said, "For by him were all things made, and all things as well consist for him and hold together in him." Christ is the one by whom all things are made. The writer of Hebrews says that as well. Chapter 1, as he speaks of Christ as being the one in whom the Father made the world. Christ has this position. He is creator. He is the one who has made all that is. This points out the reality again of who he is in his glorious person. He did not make himself. There are those who would tell us our Lord Jesus is a created being. But the Bible says clearly in testimony to who he is in verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That point clearly there speaks to the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ is not a created being. Otherwise, you'd have our Lord Jesus making himself according to the testimony of Scripture. It just won't work. The clear testimony of Scripture to our Lord is he is creator because he is God. He is creator because he is God the Son. God has blessed me in this past month to travel. And as I've traveled in ministry, had the privilege of going up to Massachusetts. I don't go by way of 95. When I do, I just don't like sitting that long. We traveled up by way of I-81, up to I-84 around Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And as I traveled across 84 through New York State, I had the privilege of crossing there around the Newburgh Bridge. Beautiful area. The Hudson River crosses under that bridge. And I looked southward, the Hudson River Valley. I looked northward, saw the Hudson River Valley. I remember my mom talking about the Hudson River when I grew up. And as I looked at the beauty of that valley, I thought, the Lord Jesus Christ made this valley. The Lord Jesus Christ is the maker and fashioner. Some of you later this, not this month, probably next month. Some may even go this month later on. But most of you probably will wait the peak week if you go. But some of you will probably travel out to the western part of our state. And as you do, you'll go so that you can see the beautiful hues of the trees as they're turning. It's amazing how our God is such a splendid maker, isn't it? That even when the trees are in what is moving toward a death state, they can be so beautiful. Those hues of red, those hues of yellow and of orange, and they light up the hills, the mountains, as they're turning toward that state. You know who did that? Jesus Christ made those. Jesus Christ is the maker, the creator of all of the beauty that this world gives forth, shines forth with. We sing sometimes in the words of Brother Babcock, Maltby Babcock, "This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's there." But you know what? John would have us to remember it's not only our Father's world. This is his Son's world as well. For his Son is the maker. His Son is the creator. His Son is the fashioner of it all. John goes on to speak of something else as he speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ, though. He also speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ in relation to revelation. He speaks of our Lord as revealer. If you will notice those words that follow in John 1, verses 5 and following, we read of our Lord as in him was life, and the life was the light of men, verse 4, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And then John gives us a little aside about a man who was the forerunner of our Lord Jesus. We know him as John the Baptist. In these words we read, verse 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." That is John distinguishing him. Then in verse 9, our Lord is spoken of. "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. We read of the light here, the Lord Jesus Christ as the light. He will say this later in this very gospel, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. But here John presents our Lord Jesus, the one who is the Word, is presented also clearly as the light. He is the revealer. He is indeed the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. And here again, I believe we see that theme that tucks away into the Lord Jesus presented as the Word. And what I understand our brother John to be saying by inspiration of the Spirit is this, that every bit of light that a man has, every bit of light that a woman, a boy or girl has, is mediated through Jesus Christ. If it's the light of creation, that light of creation shines through God's dear Son. If it's the light of conscience, that light shines through Jesus Christ. If it's the light of the written Word, it shines through Him who is the true light that lights everyone who comes into the world. Now let me add quickly, the light of creation and the light of conscience aren't sufficient to save. Only the light that comes from this Word is the Word that converts the soul, as Psalm 19 attests. But all revelation finds, if you will, its fulcrum in Jesus Christ. He is the true light. He is the revealer. And yet the sad testimony here of the Gospel of John in the prologue is, as John the Baptist was sent to bear witness of the light, it speaks of the blindness and depravity of sinful man. For you see, John had to come to tell men, the light's here. What does that tell us about men? It tells us that men are blind by nature spiritually. For John had to come to say, the light's appeared. If men weren't blind, they wouldn't have needed a witness to say, the light's on. But because of the blindness of man's spiritual condition, they had to be told by a witness, the light's come. Such is man's state. But thank God the light is shown forth in Jesus Christ. That light has come. But not only does John present our Lord Jesus as the light, the one who is revealer, the one who is the revelation, but John also presents our Lord Jesus as Savior. But we see the salvation of God spoken of. We read those words that point to the reality of man's depravity, how our Lord came to his own, but his own would not receive him. How as our Lord was in the world, he was the world's maker. The world did not acknowledge him. But John says over against that in those words, but as many as received him, verse 12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now we dealt with those words back in December of last year. We won't deal with them at large here, but we would point out that John makes clear that although man by nature is blind and depraved spiritually, nevertheless, there are those born from above by God's grace in Jesus Christ who receive him willingly and freely, not because of anything in themselves. It's not by the will of man. It's not by the will of the flesh. It's not of any natural ingredient. But rather it's because they've been birthed of God. And because of that reality, they receive him freely. They welcome him willingly. They say in the words of Brother Chapman, Jesus, I do now receive him. More than all, in him I find. He has granted me forgiveness. I am his and he is mine. That happens because of this grace of the new birth. But what I want us to notice is those words that follow in verses 14 through 18. John is very consciously speaking here against the background of an Old Testament episode. In Exodus chapters 33 and 34, some of you remember, after Israel had sinned, Moses was on the mountain receiving revelation from God for Israel. He was receiving the law of God, God's will for his people Israel. What were they doing down there in the valley? They were falling into idolatry and immorality. They were sinning against God as they worshipped the golden calf and fell into all manner of sexual sin. And they were ripe for God's judgment. In the midst of it, Moses pleads with God. And he says, God, please, don't take your presence away from your people. If you won't go up with us into the land you promised, I won't go Don't send us if you won't go with us. And Moses pleads with God, and God hears Moses' suit. And he responds, and he says, I'll go with you. My presence will go. And then Moses, as he has the ear of the Lord, Moses says to God, Lord, show me your glory. And God tells Moses, no man can look on me and live. He said, so I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll cause my glory to pass by. And he said, I'll show you my hinder parts, or my afterglow. I believe that's the idea. The backside of God's glory, if you will, was all Moses could stand to see in a natural state. And God covered Moses and then caused him to see that. And God declared his name as he passed by Moses. He said, the Lord, full of mercy, full of grace and truth. And here John consciously refers back to that as he speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ and his saving work. Notice what he says, verses 14 and following. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Again, John is writing consciously, by inspiration of the Spirit, against the background of that revelation of God to Moses. But brothers and sisters, what John is emphasizing here is that in Jesus Christ, in the Word made flesh, we have now beheld the fullness of grace and truth. Moses saw, if you will, only the afterglow. Moses saw only the afterglow of God's glory. But those of us who have been brought to trust in Jesus Christ the Word, we have beheld God's glory in fullness. For we have seen in Jesus Christ the One who is full of grace and truth. Now may I remind you, as John here opens his gospel, we've not exhausted these words, nor have we reached the end of his gospel. Remember John as he records for us the words of this gospel that bears his name. Remember John is leading us somewhere. In the first half of his gospel, roughly chapters 1 through 11, John records 7 major signs of our Lord Jesus that point to who he is. But then in chapter 12, the focus turns as our Lord enters Jerusalem in the last week of his life before his death and resurrection. John takes us to Jerusalem. And he leads us through his events of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ right up to that great cry of our Lord found in John 19:30, in which our Lord with a loud voice cries, it is finished. And as our Lord utters that cry and finishes the work given of him to do by the Father, as that happens, if you will, that fullness of grace and truth has now been manifest in Jesus Christ. The grace of God that is demonstrated toward the sinner in salvation in God's dear Son, and the truth of God which had to be satisfied in order for God to forgive one sinner, that grace and truth meet in perfect harmony and fullness in Jesus Christ. You see, at the cross, God satisfied his truth. His truth had claims against us as sinners. Every one of us had sinned and fallen short of the glory of our God and deserved the wrath of God forever. We deserved the lake of fire. We deserved damnation. We deserved judgment. We were under wrath, John 3:36 says, of all who do not believe on the Son. We were by nature children of wrath as others, written of the elect in Ephesians 2. But God in Jesus Christ at the cross has done that which has satisfied the truth of God. God's truth has not been slighted or slackened one bit. God has elevated his holiness. God has elevated his justice by punishing the substitute, Jesus Christ, in the sinner's stead. And in doing that, God is able to show in Jesus Christ fullness of grace and truth to all who trust him. This morning I wonder, can you say as John does here, and of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace? Can you say, I've received him, Jesus Christ. I've received him by grace. And as a result, I've received in him his fullness. And I like the way John speaks of it, grace for grace. That is grace on top of grace. Grace in the stead of grace. Grace in the place of grace. For that is what God keeps on giving His people in the Son, Jesus Christ. He keeps on giving grace and more grace and yet more grace. As though the ocean, when the wave after wave laps upon the sand, so from that fullness of grace in Jesus Christ, wave after wave after wave of grace overlaps God's people. And so we've experienced in Jesus Christ, all who have received Him, all who have believed on His name, have experienced in Him that grace and truth that come by Jesus Christ alone. John makes it clear that the law was given by Moses. The law that contained it, a handwriting of ordinances. It contained a catalog of moral principles that every one of us falls short of. The law was given by Moses. But grace and truth have come by Christ. Christ alone can satisfy the demand of holy God. He alone can meet God's requirement. And outside of Him, you and I stand condemned, for we can't answer God's justice. We can't answer His holiness. But in Him, there's fullness of grace and truth, so that we can know, having received this fullness, that we are saved and safe. I wonder this morning, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you received Him? Who is Jesus this morning? Is He but a shaman, a guru, who along with many others tells us the path to enlightenment? Oh, no, no. Is He but a prophet in that long line of succession leading up to Muhammad? No, He's greater than the little fly. He's greater. For He is God Himself in His glorious person. But God, the Word, become flesh, become man, so that He might be the Savior that we sinners so desperately needed. If today you've not received the God-man, Jesus Christ, if today you cannot say of His fullness, we have received. If you cannot put yourself among the number of the company of which John speaks there in John 1, oh, today would you come to the Lord Jesus. Would you say, again quoting the words of Brother Chapman, Jesus, I do now receive Him. More than all, in Him I find. Forgiveness is found in Him. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ today. Believe on the Son of God, and life will be yours. Life in Him. For in Him is life, and in Him alone. Shall we pray? Father, we ask You to magnify Your Son. Thank You for Him, the Word made flesh. Thank You for Him, Father, the One in whom we beheld Your glory, full of grace and truth. And Father, I pray for any today who haven't seen Your glory in Jesus Christ, that they might by faith look to Him, and in the mirror of the gospel, see Him and trust Him. And Father, they could come to know that fullness of grace, that fullness of truth, found in Him, even our Lord Jesus, in whose name we make our prayer. Amen.